Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you. Good to be with those that have joined us online. We, as I said earlier in the service, we're starting a new series today. There is a reason. There is a reason. There's a reason for everything, isn't there? But who's ever had children in their home or had children in their life, in whatever form that might be, auntie, nephews, nieces, school children, if you're, I know there's some teachers in the room. And you hear these two dreaded words, the worst six letters in any patient person's life. But why? Ever heard it? There's a lot of laughing in the room. There's hopefully some smirks online as well for those that are sharing with us here. But why? And then you answer. But why? And they answer. And then we respond with, just because, right? And that's so helpful for them, I'm sure. But there's that moment in the in a young person's life, in their development, where they say, but why, to everything? And you think to yourself, go on, I dare you, ask me just one more time. I think sometimes if we were really honest, we'd admit to the fact that we say that to God too. But why? Why? What? Some of the most frustrating things that I ever hear as a pastor is that people say, what's the point? Why bother? I couldn't be bothered. It's not worth it. You know, when people have got that steely resolve within them and they're like, well, I couldn't be bothered. It's one of those moments in our life, and it's when we're interacting with people where it's so depressing and defeating and discouraging. I don't see any purpose. I don't see any point to this. Why is it happening? This morning, earlier in the week, I advertised to our church family that we're looking at this new series called There Is a Reason. Now, if I'd put the entire sermon topic online, probably wouldn't have had very many people here at all. See, this morning I'm looking at there's a purpose for suffering. There's a reason for our pain. There's a reason for pain. People hate pain, don't they? No, that's not entirely true. There's a lot of people out there that embrace it. People hate pain when there's no purpose. People go running and do marathons, they're in pain. It's not a, you know, clicking their heels together singing Chim Chimney. They're in pain and they work through that pain. They embrace that pain. It's when pain doesn't have a purpose that people don't like it. When bad things happen, car accidents, when bad things happen, house fires, natural disasters, all of those things, when there seems to be no purpose, then we're not prepared to embrace the pain. It might be a loss of a job. It might be a battle with cancer. It could be that someone we know tests positive to COVID. It might be that all of our best laid plans that we had in place have all been shipped out the door because of COVID. Why is it happening? Where is God? Well, we're in good company when we say that, aren't we? Where is God? Did not Jesus say a similar thing when he hung on the cross? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? The truth is that people can endure a lot of pain. Sometimes we're reticent and we're reluctant to embrace that pain because we don't want to know what's on the other side. You see, sometimes that pain has got to do with the fact that that God is asking us to surrender something. Well, there's a pain in that. There's a grief associated with that. Well, we don't want to do that. But there's people out there that embrace pain. They run marathons. Even mums embrace pain, well, embrace-ish, through childbirth. I'm not sure embracing is the strongest word that I could use, but we'll go with it. There's certainly joy on the other side, right? I'm hoping it comes soon. We don't have sleepless nights anymore, so that's all right. The stress associated with parenthood is not part of the thing that they tell you about at in the first instance. But here we are. This morning we're looking at there's purpose in our pain. Two of my favourite writers, and it's only another few weeks until I'm having some time aside and taking some annual leave with my family, and I can guarantee you that both of these authors will get a run on my holidays. Tim Keller is a teacher from the US, and Richard Rohr. And both of them have influenced my thinking around today about what it means to have suffering. Tim Keller has written a book called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. It's a great book. If you want to borrow it, it's in my library. I'm happy to lend it to you. Or you can get it from any of your good Christian bookstores. The second one is a book called Just This, which is my yearly devotional this year by Richard Rohr. So, and both of those have got quotes from today. And I don't want to take them as words of my own, but rather what has been shared with me through that reading. There's a purpose in our pain. When we look at Scripture, we are reminded of that verse that Paul encourages the church in Rome from Romans chapter 5. And for those that you'll find that there's no pew Bibles because of part of our COVID response, but if you've brought your Bible with you, you might like to turn to Romans chapter 5. You see, it tells us in there something about that there's a purpose. And we're looking at Romans chapter 5, and I'll read quickly verses 1 through verse 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice where you get your peace from. It's not a commodity off the shelf. It's through Jesus Christ. Through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So there are some verses of Scripture that tell us that sometimes suffering is not a bad thing. That sometimes suffering helps us to endure. Sometimes God's preparation for us is packaged up in pain. Doesn't mean we need to go looking for it, nor seeking it out, but if it comes our way and we have to endure suffering, then it's because we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and push closer towards Him. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus predicts His death. And then, on the third day, He is raised back to life. There is suffering, but out of that suffering, we all get to experience that grace that Paul talks about in Romans. Tim Keller says this: Jesus lost all His glory so that we could be clothed in it. Jesus lost all His glory. We know that from the verse in Philippians chapter 2, don't we? Where it talks about Jesus emptying Himself of everything that was God, and in obedience to God, went to death on a cross. Jesus lost all His glory on the cross, so that we could be clothed in that glory. What happened in Matthew chapter 26? Jesus asks His disciples to stay awake and stay alert What's the next thing that Peter does? Falls asleep, starts snoring. In John chapter 18, Jesus is arrested. Peter's not endearing himself here. He starts swinging at the Roman's head and cuts off the ear. In Luke chapter 22, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. Sometimes we need to embrace and endure the suffering to know that we, like was shared earlier, we do not have all the perfect answers. We do not have all of our life together. Jesus uses the term in Scripture where he talks about you hypocrites. Now we have a different version of what hypocrite actually means, but in the original text, in the context of that, they're referring to masked actors. Masked actors who would put on a facade or a mask and pretend to be somebody that they weren't. There was somebody that shared with us this morning through our sharing time, and what they shared encouraged me to always be who I am. Not to allow there to be 2 or 3 different versions, but to be who God has created me to be. Often, when we look at Peter's life, we can see a long list of things that he's done wrong, mistakes that he's made, opportunities where he hasn't made it. He hasn't made it to what he thinks is the right standard. Where was God in all of Peter's failures? Where was God in the pain that he suffered when he saw his best friend crucified on the cross? There was a purpose, you see. And when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, it was in that denial that he was preparing this burning desire to never do it again. And it's in the preparation that happened in the early part of Peter's life that gave him the courage and the burning desire within himself to stand up at the start of Acts and preach his first sermon. We don't need to look at life from a perspective of pain. We don't need to look through our life through the lens of pain. Tim Keller says that you don't really know Jesus at all. You don't know Jesus is all you need until it's Jesus is all you have. You don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Here's what I've lost. We live in a world that has a language that it talks about deficiency. We talk about what we don't have. When you go to the doctor, you get given tablets because you have vitamin B, C, X, who knows what. Is there a vitamin X? I don't even know. Vitamin deficiency. And so you get given something to stop that deficiency. We're always talking about what we don't have rather than what we do have. We have a freedom found in Jesus. You see, from our pain, it can give us a perspective of purpose. Suffering is unbearable if you aren't certain that God is for you and with you. Romans 8:28. Who remembers Romans 8:28 from their Sunday school days? God works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, not according to your pain. So sometimes we're going through pain, sometimes it's tough, but God has a purpose for us. One of the most frustrating passages in Scripture, and I'm reminded of it often, so maybe God's trying to tell me something, is James chapter 1, verses 2-4. Consider it pure joy my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm still trying to work out in my life how perseverance and patience cohabitate in an impatient person. Not naming any names, but it could be me, all right? How does patience and perseverance cohabitate within somebody who's impatient and wants it done yesterday? And if not yesterday, Monday last week would be awesome. That's how impatient we're talking, right? Sometimes God's preparation takes time and it comes packaged as pain. Jesus knew that Peter would fail. Peter would doubt. Peter would cower. Peter would deny Jesus. And Jesus also knew that Peter would turn his back. But he also knew that he would turn back stronger because of those experiences. Pain was the preparation to preach at Pentecost. There was a purpose. We don't always see it, but I choose faith to believe it. I've been really worried, it's been weighing heavy on my heart, the amount of people that have had to be in quarantine, spending 2 weeks isolated in their own little bubble, right? That concerns me. Because for a lot of those people within our country and in others, they're doing quarantine on their own. There is no hope of Jesus. There is no peace that only He can give. No, instead, they're doing it all by themselves. We look at a snapshot of the world in which we live today and we wonder, where is God in all of this? And I'm sure that if we took a snapshot of the people of Israel as they were in Exodus from Egypt, they would take many snapshots over that 40-year journey and say, where is God? In fact, that's recorded in Scripture, is it not? Can't we just go back? Can't we just go back? Yeah, it was tough in Egypt, but at least they fed us. Yeah, it was tough over there. We were going through tough times, but it was better than this. And so you take a snapshot of that time in Exodus and you think to yourself, I can't see God on that landscape. I can't see God on that landscape or that one. And yet we look at it now, all these years on, millennia on, and we can see God, the story of God woven clearly through the Exodus of His people from Egypt to the Promised Land. I would like to suggest, call me crazy if you like, that my God is a faithful God, the same God that led the people of Israel out of Egypt and was faithful to them, will be faithful to us. And we look at our lives when we're going through tough times and pain and struggle and we think to ourselves, I can't see God in this. That we will look back in years to come and see that God has been faithful. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're worn out. Maybe you've had enough of the fight. Of whatever you're struggling with at the moment, can I encourage you to turn your eyes towards Jesus? This morning, I don't want to minimalize nor trivialize anyone's hurt. Hurt is valid and hurt is real for the person experiencing it. God doesn't waste them. Let's use our pain to bring a perspective of praise. I don't know about you, but I struggle at times with embracing that encouragement from James. Consider it pure joy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Consider it pure joy when trials and tests come upon you. Are you kidding me? I've never experienced such joy. When we're in the midst of the fight and the battle and the wrestle of life, when things get tough, who among us goes, "You beauty"? No, because if you have, that's okay. God bless you. Teach me at morning tea, please. It's never been my experience. I'm always, you know, wrestling. Consider it pure joy. I don't know if that's been mistranslated. That's how I justify it to myself. It's not mistranslated. James is clear. Consider it pure joy, not because of what you're going through, but because of what is coming, right? The blessings of God that are coming, not what we're going through, but what is coming. There are many times where we feel like we're isolated and we're all alone. We become separated. And some of that is forced upon us at the moment because of COVID and all the rules associated with that. But we need to make sure that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, acknowledging that pain comes. Richard Rohr says these words: "The soul must walk through such suffering to go higher, further, deeper, or longer. The saints historically called such suffering death, nights, darkness, unknowing, spiritual trials, or just simply doubt itself. Necessary suffering allows us to grow, but in secret," which is an amazingly common concept. We read in Mark chapter 4 about the parable of the seed. Both in the teachings of Jesus and of many of the mystics, such growth must largely be hidden because God alone can see it and steer it for our good. If we try too hard to understand, we will stop the process or steer ourselves off in the wrong direction. The virtue of hope, with great irony, is the fruit of a learned capacity to suffer wisely, calmly, and generously. The ego demands successes to survive. The soul needs only meaning to thrive. We say things like, "What's the purpose? Why do we do it?" Somehow hope provides its own kind of meaning in a most mysterious way. The life of our inner self is practicing heaven now. Practicing for heaven now. God allows us to bring on earth what it is in heaven. Every time we can allow, receive, and forgive the conflicts of every moment of our life. Such acceptance allows us to sit in some degree of contentment despite all the warring evidence around us. God alone, it seems to me, Rohr says, can hold together all the opposites and contradictions of life. In and with God, we can do the same. But we're not the doer. He does it in us. There is much teaching in the world today that says that if we are going through suffering, then we are obviously distant from God. That is not the gospel I believe. The good news message is that in spite of suffering, God's hope is sure. In spite of my brokenness, God continues to make me whole. And it's not just me, and it's not just you, but don't we believe that it's for the whosoever? It's for all. The gospel message is not just for a few or a couple, but it's for all. How did Jesus endure the cross? Because he had a purpose. And that purpose was you. There's a reason. We don't know the reason. We may not know the purpose. But let's continue to allow our eyes to be fixed on Jesus through whatever we are facing, and allow each of us to look for where God is at work. Have you ever been in the midst of darkness? Now, for those of us that travel back into town, you can often see a glow of Brisbane, right? You can see the night glow of Brisbane some nights. So when it's dark out here and there's no street lights, you really, really, really can't see. What happens when it's dark? You've got to look harder. And in the midst of our darkness sometimes, we have to look even harder to see where God is at work. Martin Luther King said that darkness will not dispel darkness, only light dispels darkness. And in the same way, only love, so the quote goes on to say, only love is the thing that dispels hate. So if we're looking for where God is at work in our life, and where is God in all of this, then we need to look harder to find the light. The smallest amount of light can dispel darkness. You've been in a paddock, haven't you? We've all been in paddocks where someone might have had a torch way over in the distance. You can see it for miles because it sticks out in the darkness. So in our darkest times, let's embrace that God alone is the doer of holding those opposites and contradictions in our life. Our music team is going to come and share with us in just a moment a song that's relatively new within the Christian church, but the words are not. The setting is new, but the words are not. The words come from Numbers chapter 6, and it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and give you peace." It is not something that you can take, but it is something that God gives. We can receive it, but we can't go and attain it for ourselves, because he is the source of all peace. There is a reason? Yeah. There's a reason for our suffering at times. And God gives us his peace. God bless you.